If you would, go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. In this book, being a short book, Paul writes a friend of his in Philemon, wanting him to be faithful, wanting him to do what is right. Knowing that it's a short book does not always mean it's going to be a short sermon. But there's a lot we find out in this book. We're encouraged to be the best that we can, to see the truth, to find the truth. In the book of Philemon, it starts off in verse 1. Said Paul, the prisoner of Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church of your house, grace to you and peace from our Lord, our God and Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon has good friends. He has people that are helpful. Archippus is mentioned also in Colossians chapter 4. Philemon is surrounding himself by people that will make him stronger. If you turn to Colossians chapter 4, where Archippus is mentioned, it shows a little bit about him and the strength that he has. Him and his wife, Apphia, Colossians 4, verse 17, and says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. As a responsibility as a Christian, our job is to spread the gospel. We're to be faithful in everything. Philemon's about to have a catastrophic event happen. Paul's writing to him from prison. He's encouraging his friend, wishing to come see him. Philemon is about to find out about Onesimus, somebody that did him wrong, somebody that was his slave, that he had the rights to. But Onesimus left him, did him wrong, and he's supposed to receive him in a way. It just doesn't seem like it's possible. We're to find love and compassion for others to see the greatness in him. Back in Philemon chapter in verse 4, Paul continues to write about encouraging Philemon in his faith, encouraging him to continue in his faith. Philemon's in verse 4. It says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints, that sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of the very good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. For you have great joy and consolation of your love, because of your hearts and saints have been refreshed and refreshed you, my brother. We are trying to encourage people to remember others. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about praying to other people and encourage them to continue to do what is right. We pray for people, as they show us in Ephesians chapter 1, to remind ourselves how great they are, how important they are to us. We sometimes have a hard time showing our love or respect for each other. We're to pray for them, to continue to spread the gospel. We can check on them. Paul writes a letter. We text. We email. We call. We go see them. We're doing everything we can to encourage people to continue in the faith. Because see, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 15, it says, therefore I also heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints. You do not cease to give thanks for you, for making mention of you my prayers, that the God of our love, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you in the Spirit the wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope, the calling, the riches, and the glory, and his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. We're encouraging people to constantly go about doing what is right. You pray for them. The world's going to tell you prayer doesn't work. They're going to tell you it doesn't work because they don't see the results they want to see. We ask people to pray for us. I'm going to be honest. I have to pray right then. If you're going to ask me to pray for you, I'm going to pray right then because I may forget. You ask me to pray and I say, okay, I don't do it now. I may forget. Pray by name. You're driving, you're traveling around. Pray for the apostle. Pray for the elders. Pray for the deacons. Pray for each member by name. Show the closeness that you have for them. Show the love that's within yourself that when you talk to them, you see them, you'll have a feeling of closeness with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we continue to see how Paul's constantly making mention of praying for people, thankful for their example, their living, thankful for the way they encourage us. He's making mention of them again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Said, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing the work of faith, labor of love, and patience and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know what kind of men you were among you for your sake. For you became followers of the Lord, followers and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that much became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, somebody's an example. That's kind of what I want to be around. That's what I want to hear about. We ask the elders. They'll check on people that are doing things that are wrong. They'll call you in a heartbeat. It scared me when Jim called me one day, and I'm thinking, what did I do? I must have done something. He's calling me. No, he's showing love, reaching out to you, encouraging you to be the best you can. They check on the work that we do in other places, how progress is going, the preparation that we do. They're encouraging us to continue to be strong. We pray for each other, and we're to pray believing God will answer that prayer. We're to have confidence in our God. See, it's also mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul continued to write in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. We're praying for people to remain faithful. We're praying to encourage them, pray that they'll remain faithful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. For we are bound to thank God always for you. Brethren, it is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly in the love of everyone that bounds each toward you, so that we ourselves boast that among the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing that God to repay for the tribulation of those who trouble you, and to give you the troubled rest when you, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from the heaven of the mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. We are very aware there are people against us that do not want us to help us succeed. They don't want to listen to us. You know, sometimes they're our family. They don't want to listen to what we have to say. They don't want to hear the truth from us. Maybe they're thinking, there's no way this guy could be strong enough to teach me. You ever looked at your parents, especially if they're not Christians, and try to teach them? They raised me. They know all of my mistakes, and they will point out the mistakes you have. You're praying for me that I continue to have the hope. If I can't teach them, maybe you'll help pray to help me find a way to teach them. Maybe I can get them to listen to our YouTube, to our podcast, whatever we had, a way to reach people, to encourage them. We're encouraging people to remain faithful, to be strong. Go ahead and turn back to Philemon. In this book, as Paul's talking about Philemon, he encourages faith and love. In verse 8, in Philemon, in verse 8, it says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet your love's sake, I rather appeal to you. Paul has an extreme opportunity. He has the ability to talk to somebody as an apostle. He also has the opportunity to talk to somebody as a brother. He can command Philemon to do what is right, what he wants to be done. And you know what we really want to do? We want to tell people to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. We really want you to do it on your own. Kind of sound like a parent on that part. Just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. We're encouraging people to do right. Well, see, in John, 1 John chapter 3, we have a way to go about teaching people, making sure that we're doing what is right. We're to show love. We're to show strength. We're to be gentle. Well, in 1 John chapter 3, Paul's showing the same way to Philemon as we're asked to show to other people. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, says, this we know that we love, for by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts him up from the heart, how does this love of the God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but indeed and in truth. And Paul's trying to encourage Philemon to do the right thing, not because I'm going to make you do it, not because I have the power to enforce it upon you, but do the right thing, and I'm going to show you why. Remember, Philemon's human. He's just like us. He has the same emotions, the same feelings, the same passions, and he has anger because somebody did him wrong. And now he has somebody writing him. He's a dear friend. He's writing him to encourage him to do the right thing. And I'm not going to make you. I'm going to ask you to do the right thing. Back in Philemon, we pick back up in verse 9 again. In Philemon, in verse 9. So yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. being such a one as Paul, the aged and now the prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you more, my son Onesimus, who has begotten you while in my chains. Now, at this point in the letter, you're thinking, Philemon knows, that's the guy that did me wrong. You're asking me, you built me up. You made me feel good, reminded me you're praying for me, reminded me how great you are. And now you bring up the problem he may not be ready to face. Onesimus did Philemon wrong. But look, Paul explains to him, I appeal to you in the son of Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who was once unprofitable to you, but is now profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, therefore receive him, that is my own heart, when I wish to keep him with me on my behalf, that he might minister to me in the chains of the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be a compulsion, but if it were voluntary. I want you to do what is right, because it's the right thing to do. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're to be patient when we talk to somebody when there's something they're facing. Paul's aware of the situation that's being faced, and he's wanting to be comforting. He wants to approach Philemon with humility. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Said, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are the opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so they may know the truth. Paul's trying to reach Philemon, not as somebody that's just out there preaching the gospel, hoping it'll just land somewhere, but as a true friend that loves him and wants him to do what is right. And he has a golden opportunity, because you have somebody now that it's your slave, but he's coming back to you as a brother. He's coming back to you as something greater. We don't know why Philemon, we don't know why Onesimus left. It's never mentioned to us the reason why. Maybe this was the reason purpose. As he goes back to Philemon, maybe the purpose was to be able to find Christ. Because in Philemon, pick back up in verse 14, it says, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might be in the compulsion, but if it were voluntary, for perhaps he parted for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, in both the flesh and the Lord. Do you remember that passage in Matthew chapter 18? If you turn there in Matthew 18, Peter asked Jesus a question. How many times should I forgive my brother? How many times shall I forgive somebody who sinned against me? In Matthew chapter 18, and in verse 21, Peter's asking Jesus how many times I should forgive. And you think about that. How many times will you allow somebody to do you wrong and you quit forgiving them? Told before, maybe we should find a way to keep them from sinning instead of keep sinning seven times and keep going. Find a way to talk to them so they'll do better. Well, look in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It says, and Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Is seven times a lot? You know how many times I've asked Susan to forgive me? That's seven times, probably the first year. We keep making mistakes, but she shows me how to be stronger. As Christians, we encourage you to get to know each other so we don't continue to fall in sin. But what type of attitude should I have? How many times should I forgive my brother? But look at the answer Jesus gives Peter in verse 22. I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to seven times seven. Or 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay, and his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved and had compassion, released him, and forgave him of the debt. You know, it kind of sounds like what Jesus did for us. That sin, that debt that I owe Christ, I can't repay it. Could live seven times longer, and I would never be able to come close to repaying the debt that we owe Jesus. Paul's appealing to Philemon, don't forget that. Don't forget what was done for you. Don't forget the love that Jesus had for us and how he was willing to die for us. Don't forget what was done. Because look, when you continue on reading, this man should have been moved with compassion, should have had that same idea towards others, same affection towards others. And he said, but in verse 28, But that servant went out and found in the fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Now, he just was forgiven an unpayable debt, and he's angry that somebody owes him something small, but it's his. It's his, and he rightfully deserves it. But you can't. You got to have the same passion, same compassion Jesus had on us. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went out and threw him into prison till all the debt should be paid. Now when his fellow servants saw that he had been done, they were very grieved and became and told their master what had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you of your debt because you begged me. Should you not also have the same compassion to your fellow servant? Now, Paul's appealing to Philemon to have this an amazing compassion towards others. You know, Philemon could tell Paul, you're not the one losing. You're not the one that was done wrong. Do you think Paul felt he's been treated right? He's writing this letter from prison. Do you think Paul feels people are showing him strength, showing him love, showing him compassion? He's being abused for something that we are thankful that he went through. He endured hardships and continued to teach when bad times, worrying about others. That sounds a lot like what we should be doing. We should be helping others, wanting to help others to be stronger. Go back to the book of Philemon. This time in verse 19. Philemon in verse 19. Says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. See, we have confidence in our brothers and sisters. If you go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In our mind, we're to be helpful and confident in each other. Our elders can't go about preaching the gospel everywhere. They can't teach every class we have here. So they're confident that you and I are going to step up and do our part. We're going to help grow to get stronger. We're going to do more to encourage people. It's like we know people that we can help bring, that we can bring people to Christ. They're asking us to be examples. They're showing us by their example and asking us to do their part, to be faithful, to be what we're expected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We know that the Lord is coming quickly. So think about what kind of attitude, what kind of person we should be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For yourselves know how you perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. But when we say peace and safety and sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains, upon the pregnant woman, they should have no escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are the sons and lights of the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be watchful and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, the love, and the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint to us the wrath, but obtained salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort one another, edify one another, just as you are also doing. We know our time is short. In our life, we can look at a longevity within our family. We have grandparents that lived to be the 90s and the 100s. We're thinking we're going to make it quickly. We're going to make it there. So we don't take life as serious until later. A long time ago, somebody asked me, what type of people are at the church? Well, where I grew up, they were old and young. That's who came to church, the old and the young. The young because they were made to. The old, they say, well, because they know their time is short. They find their way back. So where do you want to be? Well, that's the pattern I see set. So I'm thinking that's the norm. I become a Christian, I meet a Christian, and they show me that you're to be faithful every day because you don't know how much time you have. You're to be faithful at this moment, to be the strong as you can now. But as you're doing that, to help make others be the same way. We're to encourage people to be Christians. We're to encourage each other to be great. You know, Paul writes Philemon. He's also thinking about what he wants to do as well. Because see, in Philemon verse 22, we're to be ready for today. But Paul mentions in verse 22, it says, and meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. But in James chapter 4, we're told not to think about what we will get to do. We went on vacation. When we were younger, you know what our main concern was? We're going to have enough money to finish the vacation. As we've gotten older, our main concern is the people that we love and care, will something happen and we have to come back shortly. We're not guaranteed that we'll be able to finish it. We prepare for the vacation and hope that it all goes well. Understanding that things can happen. One of James chapter 4, we're to have the mindset of whatever we do, we have for today. We're to live for today. In James chapter 4, verse 4, I'm sorry, James chapter 4, verse 13, it says, come now, you say today or tomorrow, and we will do such and such in a city. Spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what tomorrow will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? For it is even a vapor, and it vanishes for a little while, and it vanishes away. Now, I don't have the guarantee of tomorrow, so I'm going to do the best I can today. I'm going to be as strong as I can today in hopes that will make me prepared for tomorrow if tomorrow comes. I'm hoping I can teach people to be a Christian. Verse 15 in that same passage. So instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this. But now you boast in your arrogance, for all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. We have the chance to help people. Paul's showing us, talk to him. I have a friend, he's about to find out the person that he's angry with. You don't need to have that anger anymore. I'm encouraging him. Paul's finding the opportunity to help to do good because it's the right thing to do good. Now, if you look at this back in the Philemon, at the end, what's really neat about Paul, he always gives us little bits of names, pieces that we can follow. We can see where they are, and you start tying them in together. For example, we already did our Archippus when we said we found him in Colossians 4:17. This is the only time we're mentioned about Philemon. Onesimus pops up again. But what I want you to look at those names of greetings. Some very common names. Back in Philemon chapter 23. It says, therefore, as my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus greets you, but as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. Demas and Luke are mentioned multiple times. Demas is mentioned three times. Luke is also one that wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. It's a good read too. He also wrote the book of Acts. But Demas is mentioned three times, this time being favorable in verse 24. But if you'll look in Colossians chapter 2 Timothy, Colossians chapter 4, 14. In Colossians 4, 14, we read that Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you, faithful people, doing what is right. And our goal is the people to remain that way, to stay faithful, to stay focused on doing what is right. But turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, something has changed. These are the prison letters that Paul wrote. 5-year span. In prison, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, it says, be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Now, Paul is all alone. He's worrying about other people and their strength and their love. He's all alone. People forsook him. Now, you focus on Demas because being mentioned in the letter from Paul, I love that attitude. Being is doing something right and he recognizes it. It was as Jim when he called me. I was excited at the end that he knew my name. He knows who I am. And you know what? He wants to know me closely because he wants me to be a Christian. He wants me to finish the fight. He wants me to continue on, to spread the gospel, to be an example of what I'm supposed to be. I haven't met my full potential. But why did Demas fall? What was it that he did? Because in James chapter 4:4, it says friendship with the world is hostility towards God. Demas knew that. Paul was teaching the truth and telling you to be careful. He used himself as an example, said, I buff my body daily, because Paul, calling himself the chief of sinners, knew that there was a weakness that he had, difficulties that he had. And it's, we should be wise enough to know that we're not alone in suffering these problems. There was a way we could make sure we don't do what Demas did. Look in Galatians chapter 6. We're trying to find a way to be strong, to be faithful, and our hope is that we finish what we have started. We finish what the path that we're on now. You're here in this auditorium. You have a belief in God. You have something that's compelled you to want to come here to hear the message. It may not be the message you want. But as you read the scriptures, you find out the truth is there. Well, in Galatians chapter 6, there's a way to keep people faithful to make sure we finish what we started. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you are a spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Because he put that along with James 5. It has the same attitude in James 5:16, as it's written. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're asked to encourage to pray, to help each other, to find a way to talk to each other. You know, I kind of want to see that. I want that to be part of me. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think we're going to see that. But here's the deal. We ask somebody, do you have a problem? You know what the answer is, and we've all been guilty of it? I'm a man. I don't need help. I'm strong enough within myself. I don't need you trying to reach out to help me, to teach me. And in fact, what you have taught me, I'm trying to find a way to talk to you. I don't know how to open up to my prayer to say, hey, I have a weakness. I'm trying to find a way to communicate with me, and you shot me down. You're telling me I'm too weak, that something's wrong with me, that I have these problems. I also hear that we keep our problems within our family. We try to fix our own problems. We don't need you looking in our problems because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know the difficulties. You don't know the hardships. You don't know what they're dealing with. And yet you won't talk to me and communicate with me. I will not ever be able to reach you. I don't want the attitude that don't bother my family, I won't bother yours. I want people to open up. I want to see the example of somebody opening up, talking to each other. See, I had a friend. He was amazing. He's about 15 years older than me. I was young in the faith. We were at his house in a shop, and he just starts telling me his spiritual problem. And I'm thinking the same thing you are, the same exact thing. Why are you telling me? I even told him, you need to go find somebody strong. You need to find a Christian that can help you, somebody that is capable, somebody that is ready. He kept telling me his problem. And it dawned on me, that's how it's done. We take our pride, our how boastful we are with ourselves, and we just open up to each other. And I had questions. I had them stacking up, not knowing who to turn to. Oh, I should have turned to my wife. She's the one that I was scared most to find out that I had weaknesses. So, okay, I'm the man. I'm going to fix it. I'll keep it silent. I'm going to watch you and how you talk, how you handle it. This man reached out to me. You know how many Christians we have here that were at the same level of my faith at that time? Oh, they come to church, and we're thankful for it. They won't preach a sermon. They won't lead a song. They won't teach a class. They won't say a prayer. Well, they'll help on the outside of the table, feeling like they're being useful, but if they would allow me to talk to them, or if they would talk to me, they'd find out that fear of being in front. We've all felt it, but I know how to get past it. We all know how to get past that fear that overcomes us, but if we don't associate with each other, what are we going to do? At that my friend's funeral, I go to his wife. And I tell him all the great things that he'd done, that was the best. She says, hey, somebody did that for him. Somebody, when he was younger, opened up to him to encourage him to talk. That takes effort. I kind of want to go back and say, I'm a man, so I don't have to worry about problems. I can do nothing. Well, that's exactly what I'm showing God means to me when I do nothing. I'm to find a way to communicate with people, to open up to them, to talk to them, to encourage them. I don't want you to be like Demas. I want you to be like Luke. I want you to be like Paul. I want you to be like Philemon. Stand for the truth and do what is right. It takes effort. It takes our effort. We have people here that may not be a Christian. They don't know. Why? If you don't believe God is real, he is real. In John chapter 1, Jesus explains himself that he was God, he was with God, everything that was created was through him. John chapter 2, he does his first miracle. John chapter 3, he talks about believing in him, how you'll be saved. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, you can see God in his handiwork outside. Before he opened the Bible, we can see what God is. So if we will talk to each other, we can bring people to Christ. What do you think is keeping you from being a Christian? I would love to know. I would love to know, what am I not saying? What am I not teaching? What am I lacking in my preparation and in showing them to you? What is missing? You know, if you believe in God, you're to confess Him. You're to repent of your sins. We're to be baptized. Trust me, many of us want to hold on to the baptism we had from the world. We think that is something great, that we're going to bring that with us. We're going to make that part of us, that we want to hold on to that, not knowing we're more excited about that event than what it actually did. If you're going to be baptized as a Christian, you're going to start living the life of a Christian, be an example of what is right. We're asking people to be faithful and be real. Before we stand up and do our song of invitation, I want you to ask yourself, if this is the last time I get to repent, it's the last time I get to come forward, acknowledge my sins, make changes, will I go to heaven? Think about it. The sins that we've kept secret, we felt guilty for them. We told God we're sorry, and we know He'll forgive us, but we didn't make any changes. I'm going to tell you, I'm smart enough to know it's coming back. The sins that we ask forgiveness of, if I don't make a change, I don't repent and get out of the same part, whatever's making you commit that sin, whatever's bringing you back to that level, you have to make that change. What's going to happen? It's going to become evident. The sins that we try to keep hidden, they come out and people see them. That's why we ask people to come forward. You have opportunities to stand for the truth, to be what is right, to be faithful. I don't know if Demas ever talked to Paul, but I know Paul spoke highly of people doing what is right and encouraged them to continue to do so. So what Paul's asking Demas, he's asked of all of us. Put the Lord first. As we said, don't know if Demas ever came back. It's never mentioned. He's never mentioned again. What about you? Do you think the sins that you committed will keep you from ever coming back? The sins that are eating us, that are just bothering us, are you going to allow them to keep you from being faithful, going to heaven? Our job is to encourage each other. I want to see the example of somebody talking. Okay, I got to be the example. We have weaknesses, not as strong as I thought it was. Look back in Galatians chapter 6. Back in Galatians chapter 6. Take a look at verse 3. We think highly of ourselves from Galatians 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing and he deceives himself. So if I think I'm in control and I don't need help, we're wrong. We're lying to ourselves. We all need each other. We're encouraged by each other. We're supporting each other, hoping that we finish what we started. Our job is to help you to be a Christian. Think about what you need to do as you stand up, as we sing.